What about metastatic disease and palliative therapy? What's sort of your algorithm for approaching those patients?
Well, of course, our first choice is a study, if we have one. We have several studies that we're doing that involve bevacizumab, Tarceva, Zactima, docetaxel in combinations. So we're very interested in looking at these new drugs in that setting. For a patient who doesn't want to study, has a reasonable performance status, I usually use a combination of carboplatin, 5-FU, and leucovorin weekly. And the reason that I do that is that it's relatively non-toxic. It's weekly therapy, and you can adjust the dosing based on the patient's toxicity profile, and it gives you about a 30 to 40% response rate. As a weekly therapy, it's relatively good treatment. Sometimes, and again, it depends on the patient, I'll use a taxane first, because I think once you fail carbo-5-FU, it's hard to see good responses to a taxane, but I'll use a taxane first as a single agent. Again, I'll give it weekly.
Which one?
I use either Taxotere or Taxol. It really depends on what day it is. I'm using about between 35 and 45 milligrams per meter squared of docetaxel, and there are some studies showing that that's relatively non-toxic and effective. And then for Taxol, I prefer to use around 60. I do not feel comfortable getting neurotoxicity in these patients if they have a response. I use somewhere between 60 and 80 milligrams per meter squared per week.
What about cetuximab in the palliative setting?
I choose to use cetuximab as my last line of therapy. And the reason that I do that is that the data from the cisplatinum study by Burtness, where they randomized patients to cetuximab plus cisplatinum versus cisplatinum alone, suggested, as did the TRIGO data that looked at it in the platinum failures, that cetuximab is additive and that there's no resistance to it. So if you failed a lot of other therapies, I think you're still going to see a 10 to 14% response rate to cetuximab and stabilization in another group of patients. So I save it as my last line therapy in patients, and I don't wait till they have a poor performance status. You know, if they fail, if they say, for example, get a docetaxel 45 milligrams per meter squared for, you know, 3 or 4 months, then I give them carbo-5-FU, leucovorin for however long that works, perhaps another 3 months. Then sometimes I'll do methotrexate. Even vinblastine has had a small but significant response rate, or low-dose infusional 5-FU. I've even tried capecitabine in this setting without much responses in that setting. Then I will go to, if I don't have a research study that they're eligible for, I'll go to cetuximab for them.
Cetuximab alone?
Yes, cetuximab alone.
Have you seen any responses?
Oh, yes. I see responses in patients. I have a patient right now who's on cetuximab last line, and his tumor's healing in his neck, and it's very gratifying.
That's interesting. How long has he been under treatment?
He's got about 7 or 8 weeks right now.
But he's having a response.
He's having a response. So I think if you have had neck cancer that's recurrent, that one of the drugs you should see besides a platinum, if you can tolerate it, is an anti-EGF drug. Cetuximab, I would prefer to Tarceva. I don't know how panitumumab will stack up. I would really like to get gefitinib back on the market for head and neck cancer. I mean, that was a drug in which we saw responses.
Any reason to think that'd be more effective or in any way better clinically than erlotinib?
I don't know. The phase 2 data was better. We did a trial with gefitinib where we added celecoxib to it. We had a 20% response rate. We had patients throw away their crutches and walk out of the clinic. It was gratifying. They were brief. They were 6 months, but that was a low-toxicity study. And unfortunately, celecoxib turned out to have cardiac side effects, and the whole Vioxx issue came up, and then the gefitinib problems with getting it approved and the lung studies really stopped the drug cold for head and neck development.